Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 12. And I heard so many wonderful things about the service Sunday night, how God just came in and really, really blessed. I'm very thankful for that. Amen. Praise God. You know, we, in our own desires, we like to duplicate things that we think are great. We always want it to be a certain way. But you know what makes things special? Because they're different. Amen. Because they're different. You know, if you eat steak every day, it's not long before it's common. And you're looking for peacock brains or something different. That would be different. Amen. Something that's tremendous. If it just is always the same, it just goes common. Amen. But we need, as Jesus, daily bread. Amen. So tonight we're going to have some daily bread. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the necessity of unity. The necessity of unity. Amen. Reading from the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, he said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. The necessity of unity. The Lord bless you. May be seated. We are living in a day when everything's about individual rights. Everybody's clamoring for their rights. Everybody wants their rights. Everybody wants their way. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I need. It's about what I can demand. It's about what everybody owes to me. America pretty much was a nation at peace and families at peace, and generally things were pretty content until the 50s came along. We had a group called the Beat Generation. They were beatniks. They dropped out. They didn't want jobs, and they didn't want responsibility, and they just wanted to cast off all of the things that had been in our society for generations. And so they just declared their unity, their individualism. We want to be individuals. We don't want to be like anybody else. We want to stand out. And then in the 60s, we had another group come out, and they were called the hippies. And so they decided, we really don't want our mom and daddy's religion. We don't want mom and daddy's way of life. We want to live on their finances, but we don't want any of their responsibility. So we just want to get in our Volkswagen bus and our dyed t-shirts, and we just want to go and do our thing. They cast off all the mores. And sexual immorality became free love, and they just thought they had it. Drugs and rock and roll music and sexual immorality, and cast off all responsibility. And that has influenced our world that we have grown up in this generation. Unfortunately, the hippies became the yuppies. And the yuppies are only concerned about financial, the ones that said they didn't want anything to do with all of the materialism, became the most materialistic generation that has ever lived. It's about BMWs and Rolex watches and vacation houses in the Caymans and anything they can do to get some more stuff together. More stuff. More stuff. More stuff. More stuff. Amen. Our society's full of them. Our government's full of them. Our country is very broke. $14 trillion in the hole. Because we just got to have more stuff. Amen. Got to have it now. So we'll put on the backs of our children and our grandchildren until it all collapses. Amen. That's where we lead, folks, when it's all about me. It's all about me. And then, of course, the feminists jumped in and they said, well, you know, we want to be individuals. It's my body. If I conceive a child, then I ought to have the right to kill that child if I want to. It's my body. So abortion became the issue of the day. And then it was, I don't want to be a housewife, I want to be a CEO. Well, that's fine and good. But you know what happened? A lot of those CEOs, when they got to be about 40 and the biological clock was chiming away, and they found out life's pretty empty without a family. So that's where we are in our world. That's what individualism and being the Lone Ranger and the Marlboro Man will get you. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we need unity. There's no place in the church for the Lone Ranger. You're not going to make it very long by yourself. You know what happens when cells in your body become renegade? We call it cancer. When cells decide they're going to rebel against what they were designed to do and do their own thing and become what they want to be, then cancer forms in the body. And the same thing can happen in the church of God. There's no place for the Lone Ranger. Amen. There's no place for the beatnik or the hippie in the church of the living God. Amen. Praise God. There's no place for me and my rights in the church of the living God. Amen. Let me just go to the scripture and just show us tonight what we're trying to say. Jesus founded the church on unity and self-sacrifice. John chapter 12, verse 24, talking about his own body and his own death, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the wheat, a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It was not about self, but it was about sacrificing self so that it could bless others, so that it could help others, so that it could benefit others. Amen. Hey, it's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about unity. And it's about others. Amen. So Jesus taught us that not only with his words, but with his own life and with his own death. Jesus said it this way in John and Matthew chapter 20, verse number 27 to verse number 28. He said, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. Sometimes we get pretty selfish, don't we? You know how you get your feelings hurt? Because you start thinking about yourself. You know how you get discouraged real fast? Because you start thinking about yourself. You know how you get crossways with your brothers and sisters in the church? Because you get to thinking about yourself. You think about me and my feelings and what they said and what they did to me, 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 me. But when we have a servant mentality, we understand we have no rights. Let me say it again. When we have the servant mentality, we understand I don't have any rights. Amen. Servants don't have rights. They're servants. And Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, be everybody's servant. Amen. Isn't that amazing? In this kingdom, the way up is down. Amen. It's not stepping on other people and raking on other people and trying to get ahead on the back of other people. Amen. But it's about lifting up your brother, lifting up your sister, encouraging somebody else. That's the way you get great in the kingdom of God. You sacrifice yourself for the benefit of your brothers and sisters. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12, "He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Amen. The way up is down. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said if we start exalting ourselves, he said, "I'll see that you put down. But if you just humble yourself and go about your business," he said, "I'll see that you're exalted." Hallelujah. Amen. It's about unity tonight. It's about servanthood. It's about serving one another in the kingdom of God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God." James chapter 1, verse 1 said, "James, a servant of God and of Jesus Christ." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus, brother of James." Amen. A servant and an apostle to Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 1, verse 1, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James." Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, he said, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John." Revelation chapter 15, verse number 3, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God." All those are great men, we think. But in their own mind, in their own heart, in their own spirit, they said, "Oh no, we're just servants of Jesus Christ. We're not here to be exalted. We're not here to be glorified. We're not worthy. He's worthy. We're just servants of Jesus Christ." How great would the church become if all of us could understand that we're just servants? Jesus walked into the upper room. They were arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. Who's going to sit on the right hand? Who's going to sit on the left hand? He didn't say anything. He just went over and got a basin of water and a towel. And he walked over to the closest one and grabbed old dirty garbage stinking feet, put them in the water and began to wash his feet. Amen. And dried his feet, moved on to the next one, began to wash his feet, moved on to the next one, began to wash his feet. It wasn't long before they got the message. By the time he got to Peter, he said, "Oh, Lord, don't wash my feet. I couldn't stand the thought." He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." Old Peter, you know him, he's impetuous. He said, "Well, then wash my head and all over me." Amen. Don't stop there. Amen. It's not just my feet that need it, Lord. It's my mind. It's my heart. It's my spirit. It's every part of me needs to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God. I think we're getting a message here tonight. He said, "We're servants." Amen. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men." Everybody say gentle. Are we gentle? Just a question. Are we gentle? Boy, I'll tell you what, I gave him a piece of my mind. You probably needed it. Be careful how much you give away. Amen. Amen. So be, everybody say, be gentle. Be gentle. I remember a time, I was waiting for a phone call because I was going to tell him. He deserved it. He did. He deserved it. He had lied on me, and I was going to let him have it. And I was just waiting for the phone to ring. And the phone rung. I was outside, and I had the hull up on the back of the van. This is when I was a missionary. And I was closing that, and I closed it right in the top of my head. And I cut a big gash right there. And then I couldn't talk on the phone because I had to get my head sewed up. And so I told my wife, I said, well, tell him I'll talk to him later. Went off to the hospital. They didn't deaden it. They didn't give me a shot. They didn't do anything but grab a needle and start sewing. And then they grabbed a bandage and sewed that on. I mean to tell you, by the time that was all over, I was pretty calm. I was pretty gentle. And by the time I saw my brother, I was real gentle. Amen. Thank God he knows how to handle things. He knows how to take the meanness out of us. Amen. He got everything calmed down, and I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. Because I didn't really want to be. But I was really upset. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't argue, fight, push, shove. Put one another down, get yourself lifted up. Don't strive. Don't fight. Don't bicker. Don't argue. Amen. I told you this was just, you know, kind of beans and cornbread. Amen. But it'll help your soul to. Praise God. He said, don't strive. Be gentle unto all men. Oh, how awful that is. Not just to those that you think are better. Not just to leadership. Not just to people you want to butter up. But to everybody. If you can be kind to the child or to the person that can't do anything for you as far as you think, and be just as good to them, just as nice to them, just as gentle with them, just as generous with them as you are to the big shot, then you're on the right track. If there are no big I's, little U's in the church, then you're on the right track. If everybody's the same and you treat everybody the same, then you're on the right track. Amen. Be gentle. I'm talking about being a servant of the Lord. He said, be apt to teach. Amen. We don't only teach by what we say. We teach by what we are. The loudest and best message is not taught with words, but with actions and deeds. Amen. That's the greatest lessons that we learn. He said, let the servant of the Lord be patient. I say patient. We want it, and we want it right now. Amen. Patient. Let him be patient. In meekness. By say meekness. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Meekness. Meekness. Don't tell them off. Don't be hard or don't criticize them. In meekness. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Those that are not doing right. Don't give them a piece of your mind. Don't tell them that they'll make it. Don't tell them that they're not good. Don't tell them that Bibles that instruct them with meekness. Amen. If God peradventure will give them repentance and acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who had taken them captive, his will. So that's the servant of God. I want to be a servant of God. How about you today? I want to be a servant. God, help me. Help me. Help me. I never want to get proud. I want to get lifted up. I don't want to get haughty. I don't want to be arrogant. Amen. I want to be a servant. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's necessary, really, to have unity. The Bible teaches us to prefer one another. Prefer your brother. Amen. That doesn't mean when it's time to go in the lion's den. It's easy to prefer your brother then. You go ahead, brother, show me the way. Amen. But when the rewards are being handed out, prefer your brother. When promotion's given, prefer your brother. Amen. Prefer your brother. Is this Christianity or is it not? It sounds like it to me. Sounds a whole lot like Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, the scripture said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You serve one another because you love one another. It's not hard to do something for somebody that you love. I said, it's not hard to do something for somebody that you love. You'll churn, change dirty diapers for somebody you love. You'll put up with squalling at 3 o'clock in the morning when you got to go up, get up and go to work if you love them. You'll scrub old dirty bottles and put all kinds of shenanigans because you love somebody. Amen. You'll put up with a lot of things if you love somebody. You'll do a lot of things. You'll sacrifice if you love somebody. Amen. By love, he said, serve one another. Just do it because you love them. Amen. Do it because you love the Lord. Amen. That's what the scripture tells us to do. And that's what is so very necessary for all of us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Jesus Christ." And then he goes on in the following verses to tell us what the mind of Jesus Christ was like. He starts by saying, "Who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," or something to boast about. Amen. I'm Jesus. I'm God manifest in the flesh. He didn't boast about it. He didn't brag about it. He didn't go around talking a lot about that as to puff himself up and make himself someone. Amen. So you see, first of all, we don't go around boasting. There's no place in the kingdom of God and servant to be boastful and proud and haughty and lifted up. Think you're better than somebody else. And think you're better than somebody else. And think you're better than somebody else. Amen. Think you're that somebody else is less than you are. Or for that matter, to think that you're less than someone else. Amen. You know, that's not being humble. That's being inferior. And inferiority is just as dangerous as superiority. Amen. It is. Pity is just as dangerous as pride. Oh, yeah, it is. Self-pity is a sad thing. You know, the devil never misses a pity party. If you want to have a pity party, I promise you, he's going to show up. He'll nearly tear your arm off, patting you on the back, telling you how tough you got it. But on the conversely, Jesus never goes to a pity party. Amen. So the next one you got can't schedule, just cancel it. Amen. See, I'm not showing up for any more pity parties. Hallelujah. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What is there to pity? Hallelujah. You're a child of the King. Amen. So he said that mind that was in Christ, it was not boastful, not proud or arrogant, lifted up. But he made of himself no reputation. Woo, you don't have to worry about it. If you've got character, don't worry about your reputation. Reputation is what other people think of you. Character is what you really are. If you'll take care of character, reputation takes care of itself. Amen. Now that doesn't mean everybody's going to say good things about you. even if you have good character. Amen. They didn't say good things about Jesus, although he had good character. But he didn't spend time defending that. He didn't argue with them. He didn't get mad at them. He didn't fight with them. He just went on about doing good. Hallelujah. He didn't get hung up, arguing, getting his feelings. He knew who he was. He knew what he was. He knew why he came. He knew what his mission was. And he didn't get sidetracked because of what people said about him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Made of himself no reputation. But he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Amen. He just took on himself the form of a servant and he became one. I didn't come here to be ministered to. I came here to minister. I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve. And he did. Amen. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Everybody say he humbled himself. You know, it's a whole lot better to yourself than to have God humble you. Jesus said it's a whole lot better for us to fall on the rock than to have the rock fall on us. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Rather, if not, God will have to humble us. So he had an humble mind. And then it says, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He had an obedient mind. Amen. Somebody said one time, our goal in life is not to be successful. Our goal in life is not to be perfect. Our goal is just to be obedient. If I can be obedient to Jesus Christ, I can be holy. If I can be obedient to Jesus Christ, I can be perfect. If I can be obedient to Jesus in all things, at all times, then I can become successful. But that's not what I'm aiming. If I can just be obedient, then all the rest will fall into place. Amen. That's the mind of Jesus. He was obedient even to death on the cross. And this next verse, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Hear me today. Whenever you humble yourself, you have an obedient mind. Amen. You don't exalt yourself. You don't boast about yourself. You don't talk about those things. God can exalt you. You see, one of the greatest enemies we have is this stuff right here we're covered with. Some of us more than others. But it's all the same stuff, regardless of how much flesh you have. If you've got 100 pounds or 200, none of your business pounds, it's still the same stuff. I've seen some little folks that was full of it. I mean, they were flesh and carnal from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And then I've seen big folks that were just humble and sweet and Christian. Amen. It doesn't matter your size today. It's this old flesh that we struggle with. Amen. But if we get this under control, we humble it, and we're obedient to Jesus Christ, God can and will exalt us. You know, it's dangerous when God starts using people. It's real easy to get lifted up. I'll never forget the story that was told about the prophet in Louisiana. He started out with a lot of big names you'd recognize in healing ministry. God really used him in healing ministry. People called him from all over the globe. He was a prophet of God. People would call him, and they would ask him. Brother Barnes would respond, and God talked to Brother Barnes. And he was following what a lot of other young men were doing in his ministry. And God was blessing him. God anointed him. One day he was admiring the sign that he'd put over his tent, and he was just doing what other people were doing. And it said, Barnes Healing Campaign. And he heard God say, ha! Who's Barnes? And he rolled it up. and you never put it back up. And you never forgot. It's not Barnes' healing campaign. It's all in Him. And it's all about Him. Amen. God has used some people in the gifts of the Spirit that got lifted up and became proud. And they attached their name where only His name should be. Amen. Folks, we want to be used of God. And it's our goal to be used of God. And God wants to use us. But don't. First of all, we've got to humble this flesh. We've got to humble this flesh. Amen. I believe that a man and a woman can be used of God greatly. But just make sure that he gets all the glory. Amen. Jesus did that. And he said, in my own self, I can do nothing. But the Father that is in me, he does the works. He said, the words that I speak not of myself, but what I hear of my Father, that's what I speak. He said, not my will, but thine be done. His word and his works and his will are rendered to God. And that's what we've got to do, folks. We've got to surrender it all to him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus shows us the way. Amen. And let me... I'm going to wrap it up here in a few minutes tonight, but going back to the text that we started with concerning the power of unity, he said two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Have you ever wished for another pair of hands? Amen. I know people that have wished, you know, for another tongue. Amen. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. Amen. They'd gladly trade one of their ears or even their right hand if they could just talk a little bit more. Amen. Praise God. But he said two are better because they have better work. They get more done. They get more done. And so they're better because of that. They have a better reward. And he said, for if they fall, one shall lift up his fellow. Hey, it's dangerous to fall when you're by yourself. Heard about a guy walking through a graveyard one night. It was raining, it was muddy, it was dark, it was stormy, and he fell into an open grave, and he was clawing, trying to get out. He was scared out of his wits, and he was trying to get out of that old slippery pit, and he couldn't get out. And about that time, a voice from a man that had fallen in before him said, you can't get out of here. And he did. You see, all he needed was just somebody to inspire him. Amen. So if you're not by yourself, amen, it's dangerous to be the Lone Ranger. Don't need anybody. Don't need the church. Amen. All I need is the telly. I can sit here and watch on the telly, and I can be saved here at my house. And don't need anybody. Don't need to go to church. I can turn on the radio, and I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. The Bible said the church is a body, and it's many members, and they're all interrelated. And you need all of them. And when one thing goes wrong with your body, you know it. Amen. You need every part. You need your eyes, and you need your ears, and you need your mouth. You need every part of you. And that's what the church is. It's a body, and so we need one another. Amen. And then it said again, if two lie together, they have the heat. How can one be warm alone? It's cold out there by yourself. Years ago, I read a book called Alive. It was about a soccer team that crashed up in the Andes Mountains, up in the snow. And it was a story of their survival. In the daytime when the sun was out, it was warm enough. But at night when it got cold, they all just snuggled together in the fuselage of that wrecked plane. And through the night, they would just huddle together, and their warmth would warm one another, and they would make it through the cold night. In the daytime, they could get out, and they might have arguments, and they might fight, and they might get mad at one another. But I'm telling you, when it got cold, it was time to get together. because you'd freeze to death out there by yourself. Amen. Have you ever tried to hug a porcupine? It's a dangerous task. And some people are porcupines. Amen. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Think I'll eat some worms. Amen. And you can't hug them till they get their quills down. But if a porcupine gets cold enough, he'll put his quills down. If he gets to the place that it's dire enough, he'll get his quills down so that he can join the community, because he needs what somebody else has for him. Amen. So tonight, we can't get that old ugly independent spirit. Don't need nobody. Amen. Yeah, we do. We need one another. We need one another. We draw strength from one another. We draw warmth from one another. We gain knowledge and wisdom from one another. We need one another. Amen. And he said, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. I love biblical math. Deuteronomy chapter 32, I believe verse number 30, it said, and if one prevail against 1,000, he said, two shall put how many? 10,000 to flight. See, that's what we call synergy. That's not the energy to sin. But energy, synergy means that it's not just double, but multiply. It's a principle in physics that there are certain forces that don't just double energy and effort, but it multiplies. And whenever the church gets together, it doesn't just double your strength, but it multiplies your strength. Amen. Praise God. And you make it because you have brothers and sisters, and you have the strength of their prayers. That's the power of unity. And he said, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When I was in school, we read a story about a father that had 7 strong sons. And he called them together one day, and he had a bundle of 7 sticks that he had gathered. And he gave that to his sons, and he said, now, the one that can break this bundle of sticks, he said, I'm going to give him a great reward. And so one took the sticks and he put it over his knee, and he bowed his young back, and with all the strength he had, he tried to break it. He couldn't break it. Another took it and put it between the boughs of a tree, and he pulled for all that he was worth, and he couldn't break it. And one by one, the sons tried so hard to break the bundle of sticks, but none of them were successful. Finally exhausted, they brought the bundle of sticks to their weak old father, and he said, I'll show you how to break the sticks. And they snickered. How can a weak old man do what we could not do? He simply untied the bundle, and then one by one he snapped the twigs as if they were nothing. And he said to his sons, united we stand, divided we fall. It's so important tonight that we understand the principle of unity. Amen. We're not going to heaven individually. You're not going to just go by yourself. What is that old song when you sing? Just build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. All by myself. Don't need nobody. Amen. Praise God. That's that old independent spirit. When I get to heaven, I don't want to be around people. Well, you're probably not going to go. Amen. You're not going to have to worry about it too much, I don't think. We love that verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. The original says, in my Father's house are many rooms, habitations. Now, I don't want to bust anybody's bubble here tonight. And when you get to heaven, you may have an independent mansion somewhere. I don't know. But as for me, I'd a whole lot rather live in his house. I'd rather sit at his table. I'd rather be close to him. I don't want to be stuck off in a mansion somewhere down Glory Avenue. I want to put my feet under Jesus' table. Amen. I want to be where he is. Hallelujah. That's unity. Praise God. That's unity. I said that to somebody, and some poor lady said, "Oh, I was so looking forward to my mansion." Well, I hope she gets it. Praise God. Amen. It just don't mean anything to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. What can expect from somebody that lives in a barn? Praise God. Amen. Power of unity. Hallelujah. It's important that we understand how strong and how important unity is. Unity comes from a couple of things. One, it comes from shared experience. It comes from a shared identity. It comes from a shared history. That's what makes you. We are one in Jesus Christ. We have that unity. That's what we have in common here tonight. We're all different here. We think differently. We come from different backgrounds, different cultures. But in Jesus Christ, we're one. He is what unifies us tonight. Our history is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we preach about Him, we get excited. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. We love to hear the old story. Oh, hallelujah. Because of our history and our identity, our unity is in Jesus Christ. The Jews made it through a lot of persecution. After 70 AD, when Jerusalem no longer, and Israel no longer was a nation or had a country of their own, they separated all over the world. But in whatever country they were in, they lived in ghettos. They would all live together in whatever place in the country that was given to them or they found for themselves. They always lived together. And they lived in a community. And they continued to observe their religion. And they continued to observe what they knew about God. And they remained separate. A separate identity. But in the 1940s, in Europe especially, they began to drift away from their unity and they started developing simply as individuals. And they were not pulling together as a community as they had in the past. And you know the story of what happened in 1940s in the country of Germany, especially when Hitler took 6 million Jews. 6 million Jews. And loaded them with almost no resistance into cattle cars. Packed them in there like animals and sent them off and slaughtered 6 million Jews. But a minute number of them that survived in 1948 were given a homeland. And when that little handful of Jews stepped on that sacred soil of Palestine for the first time in 1800 years. Hallelujah. There was something that began to course through their veins. And they were not 6 million. They're just barely 6 million today. But when they stepped on that soil, something got a hold of them. The spirit of Caleb and the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of Moses, and their history began to course through their veins. And they said, never again. We're not ever going to leave this place. And that little group of men became valiant in fight. And 1948, when the Arabs began to march against them and said, we're going to drive you into the sea, they won the victory one more time and drove a superior army far away from them. Because they got together and they had a unity that said, we will not be defeated again. 1958, the Sinai Wars, same thing happened. Whenever they came against them, they rose up, and that valiant fight, as long as their feet are in that soil, amen, and they have their history and their unity and their identity, they are invincible. 1967, Six-Day War, same thing. 1973, same thing. Amen. There's a force. The Arabs have 649 times more land, 49 times more people, 11 times more money. But what they don't have is unity. And what Israel has above all else is unity. And they've never been defeated. They're the most formidable army on the face of the earth probably today as far as their size. You're not going to defeat them, because they will lay down their life. What's the difference in the Jews in Europe and the Jews in Palestine? Unity. Identity. That's it. It was every man for himself. But whenever you're standing side by side with your brothers and your sisters, and you share a common cause, and you share a common history, amen, and you link arms, you'll stand. And nothing will defeat you. David, you know what? It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to understand something. We've got to understand that we're rooted in a sacred soil, folks. It's not Palestine. Amen. It's the foot of an old rugged cross. Hallelujah. It's drenched with the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the blood of the martyrs. Amen. And we're going to stand. Hallelujah. Come what may, we're going to stand. The devil may do his best against the church, but we're going to stand. The world may hate the church, but we're going to stand. We may be persecuted on the job and in the school and in the home and in the family and in the neighborhood, but we have something, a unity, that's going to make us stand. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, it's important that we have unity. It's necessary. When we were at Texas Bible College, there was a young man that went to Life Tabernacle. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. His name was Clark. When Clark went home and his parents found out what he did, they said, "You will never, as long as you're under this roof, you'll never go back to that church again. If you go back there, we will disown you, and you'll be on your own." Well, you know what? Clark wasn't on his own. Because when he'd get home from school and mom and dad were still at work, he'd call Brother Joe. And Brother Joe would get some of us young men together, and we'd go to Clark's house, and we'd have a prayer meeting. Amen. And we'd pray with Clark and get away before his mom and dad got home. Amen. And he had a need. He'd get on the telephone. He'd call Brother Joe or somebody. And he'd say, "I need you to pray for me." And the church would go to prayer. Amen. And he made it all the way through high school and never got to go to a church service. Amen. But you know what? Here he is in the church today. Some 35 years later, he's still living for God. He's in the church every time the doors are open. He's there worshiping the Lord. Amen. Because he made up his mind, "I might not get to be there in body or in flesh, but I'm there in spirit." And the church was with Clark when he needed it most. Amen. That's why I don't understand this attitude of folks. Whenever you get sick, you think the pastor is just supposed to get a telepathic method and know our message, and no, I don't. Call me. Call your brother. Call your sister. Let somebody know. Hey, take some responsibility. I've heard people say, "Well, I didn't go to church just to see how long I could lay out of church without somebody missing and calling me." What a selfish attitude. Grow up! Mature! This is a body! You're missed when you're not here. Amen. Nobody can take your place. I said nobody can take your place. Somebody else may come in, but they won't take your place. Somebody else can do their work, but they can't do your work. Hello? If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Nobody can pray your prayers. Nobody can witness to folks you can witness to. Nobody can win who you're supposed to win. If you don't do it, it just doesn't get done. Grow up. Take responsibility. Amen. Pray through. Get over self. Get over self. Get over self. Boy, that's good preaching, Brother Grissom. Woo! Think I'll shout a little while. Amen. That's the truth if you ever heard it. Amen. Praise God. Mix a little meat with the milk here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you how to be saved tonight. We're going to be saved as a body. Amen. And through unity. And we need one another. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I mean, let's really stand together. Brother Holly said, take a lesson from the banana. Stick with a bunch or you'll get peeled. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Bless the Lord. These walls are made out of indigo bricks. And if this little brick was off by itself, it would be easy to steal. It would be easy to break. There'd be nothing to it. But you want to take that brick out tonight, you got some work on your hands. Because it's part of a whole. It's not individual anymore. Amen. That's the importance. The Bible says that the church, we are fitly framed together. God put you into a wall. God put you into the fortress. God put you into the church. And He surrounded you with brothers and sisters. And you're not by yourself. And as long as you remain a part of the whole, it's impossible for you to be removed. The only way you can be removed tonight is if you separate yourself from the rest of the body. Amen. Praise God. It's so important tonight that we understand the necessity, the absolute necessity of unity and being part of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it'd be good tonight if we just respond to the word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel something tugging into my spirit tonight. And I'd just like to spend a few moments talking to the Lord. And I'd like to invite you to spend a little bit of time with Him here tonight. Amen. Come and thank Him for the church. Amen. Thank Him for the body that you're a part of. Thank Him for your brothers and sisters tonight. Jesus, I'm so glad that I'm a part of this. I know sometimes we get to feeling independent. Sometimes we get a little down and in the muddy grubs. Amen. We get to feeling sorry for ourselves. Yeah, we get selfish. And I ask you tonight, Lord, to help me because I need you so very much. If I know that somebody's dependent on me, it makes it a lot harder to quit. If I understand tonight that my brothers and sisters are counting on me and I just can't give up, I got to keep going. Because somebody's depending on me. I'm not in this by myself. And if I go down, there's not going to be anybody to fill my place. Oh God, I want to stand. I never want to go down and take somebody else out with me. I don't want to make it easy for somebody else to give up to. God, I don't want those that are weak and struggling to have an excuse. I want them to have an example. I want them to be able to look and say, Brother so-and-so, he's got his struggles. He's been through some battles, but he's still here. if he can make it, I can make it too. If God will help him, he'll help me. If he can make it by the grace of God, I can make it too. Oh, yes, Jesus, I need you tonight. Oh, how I need you tonight, Jesus. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you that you have made me a vital part. And you have strategically placed me in a very special spot. Place made just for me. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Jesus, take me back.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first. Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord,
to the place
where I first received you.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord,
where I
where I first received you.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Amen. I'd like for everybody to get your brother or sister's hand. Let's make an oval here or line. Amen. Just everybody get somebody by the hand. Praise God. And I want us to sing this song together. It's what it's all about. It says, bind us together. Bind us together. Amen. See, it's so important tonight that each of us understands that we're important to this church. Amen. It's important. And we need to be bound together with the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing can tear us apart.
Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. Oh, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love.
One more time, sing it to the Lord.
Oh, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Oh, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. I was reading tonight a little bit further from our text. And Solomon said this. He said, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. When you think you get to the place that you know it all and you don't need anybody and you don't need anything, and nobody can advise you, nobody can help you, then a wise child is greater than you. Sometimes we need to hear some things we don't really want to hear. But if we say them in love, and we say them for the benefit of the body, amen, then that's our purpose. It's not to hurt, it's to heal. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Sister Brooks, would you come up for a minute? Let us pray with you. Amen. Let's pray for Sister Brooks tonight. She needs a touch from the Lord. And our God is able, isn't he? Amen. So let's pray for her right now. She's going through some difficulties, but our God is able. This is your sister. God put her in this church, and we love her. Thank you. Oh, you're so good, Jesus. You're so good, Jesus. We love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.